89.3 The Current. That's Hyde, performed live in our studio, where I'm joined by Talia Barnett, who performs under the name FKA Twigs, playing a sold-out show at the Fine Line Music Cafe tonight. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
I want to ask you about your debut album that's out now, being nominated for the Mercury Music Prize, being nominated for the BBC Sound of 2014, playing Jules Holland, and much more. But first, I want to start out by asking you about being a dancer, because you are a dancer, and that's kind of how you started your career as an artist, and you've appeared in some music videos. How has being a dancer informed your music?
I don't know. It's weird. Like, I guess there's a misconception that I am a dancer. I guess I was a dancer, but I looked at it very much as a 9-to-5. I was at one point working 4 jobs, like waitressing. I was working in Selfridges in London. I was working in a bar. I was a youth worker, and I was working 4 jobs to kind of try and afford money to go in the studio and like sort of sustain my life as a music artist. And then I just thought, well, I've had all this dance training when I was young, and I had known I didn't want to be a dancer. I'd given up when I was 16, and I had all this dance training, and I met a girl who had done a video, and she said to me that she'd got £200 for being in a video. And at the time, it was taking me like, you know, 1.5 weeks to make £200, and I was doing like 4 jobs. So I thought, well, why don't I try and do that, and then I can work just a few times a month and concentrate on music. So it was never really a transition. It was more like a business decision that I was going to go and train back up so that I could dance for other artists. And I learned a lot from behind the scenes what it's like to be a music artist, just from watching people that I was dancing for. And I was able to look at the things that I liked about the way they were doing, all the things that I disliked that I knew wouldn't be right for me. It's funny because obviously people tend to talk about me as a dancer a lot, but I've felt like a music artist since I was 16 years old.
You mentioned observing other artists and seeing things that you liked and some things that maybe you decided weren't going to be part of your career or what you were doing. What were some of those lessons that you learned along the way?
I love like creativity, and I love being involved in everything. And I really noticed the difference. Like if I was working with an established artist who would turn up on the day and just kind of like wing the performance, the difference between how that show looked or that video looked compared to an artist who had like so much to do with it and would come in and like try and learn. And I just realized that I wanted to be someone who wrote all my own lyrics and wrote my own melodies and produced my music and came up with concepts for videos or directed videos, or I wanted to be somebody that could include all my friends in what I was doing.
Your debut album is so impressive because it's such a complete album as a listener, and it asks the question, you know, when did you know you were done?
I kind of like finished my record, and then I worked on a couple of projects with Dazed and Confused, and I was making almost kind of like score music for 2 videos I had been asked to do for them, and it was very much back to back. It doesn't ever really end. It's almost like a point of where I am right now, and I haven't really stopped making music since then. So like I did the album, and then I did the projects for Dazed and Confused, and I started like venturing into directing much more and kind of scoring and making like emotive music to go with visuals. And then I went into sort of beat making mode, like not producing, not as a producer, but a beat maker, like somebody that could just make like a 15 minute something on my laptop. And I was doing that for a few months, and then I've just been working on like another full like musical project with me singing and writing. So for me, it's not really like, oh, that's LP1, it's finished, I know it's finished. It's more that knowing that that is a bracket of that year and a half, when to close the bracket, which I guess is I closed my bracket of my album at the beginning of feeling like a more confident producer, and I knew that that was the end, knowing what my next direction would be as a producer and knowing that I wanted to think about songwriting much more. And then I knew that that was time to close LP1 and start what I've been working on now.
89.3 The Current, we're live in the studio with FKA Twigs. Do you prefer just being called Twigs?
I mean, I don't know. I guess it would be weird, like, if you were like, hi, FKA Twigs, yeah, every time. But I don't really mind.
You mentioned that bracket, that space where you created LP1. You worked with a pretty impressive network of producers and artists. You worked with Paul Epworth. He's worked with an amazing number of artists, including Adele, Florence and the Machine, Coldplay. You worked with Alejandro Gerci, who people are just getting to know, even though he worked with Kanye West. Can you talk about some of the people involved with making the record?
I guess a real stand-up moment for me was working with Paul Epworth, just because he was such a big producer. Like, he did the Adele record and, you know, Florence and the Machine, and he's just like a massive pop producer. And I think after working with people like Arcar or like Clams Casino, where you don't really think about like writing a pop song when you're in the studio of like Clams, you know, you're just kind of having a good time. So when I was going in the studio of Paul Epworth, I was quite nervous because I was like, well, how am I going to come through? He has such like a specific sound. And I actually, like the morning of the studio session, I called up Tick, who's also in my band here with me today, and I kind of had a moan at him. And I was like, why am I doing this? I've been suggested to work with Paul, like through my manager and my label. And I was like, this just isn't me. Like, I like working in bedroom studios. And I was kind of having a bit of a moan about it. And I, like, stalled the session. Like, I turned up, like, quite late because I was like, right, so if the session starts at 12, if I get there at 2, and then if I eat, then that means we don't start work until 3:30. And I'd heard that Paul had a baby, so I knew he was going to be locking off, like, 7, 8. So I was like, so I'll go in, we'll faff around for 4 hours, and, like, oops, we didn't get anything done. Like, it's such a shame, but at least I'm, like, looking open, like, I want to do it. And so I turned up. I'd been stalling. I said to Paul, I was like, oh, meet me at this cafe. I'm hungry. Let's eat first. We met for the first time and he sat down and he was like, oh, I've got to be honest. I've been dreading this session. I'm really nervous about it. And yeah, so I hope it goes okay, but I'm actually really nervous. And I was like, oh, me too. And he was like, oh, okay. And it just like completely broke the ice. And we went in the studio and he was just so open to all my ideas, and I had my tempest there and I just started like making music to my weird little clicks. I kind of wrote the whole song over all the clicks kind of in the first 15 minutes, and then I was like singing him chords, and he was just so receptive to all my ideas and just didn't try and impose on me at all. Like, he was a real like old-fashioned producer in the fact that he brings out the best of the artist, which is obviously why it's worked so well with Adele. And actually, Pendulum Now is like my favorite song on the record.
Well, let's hear the song.
Okay.
FKA Twigs live in the Current Studios. That song is called Pendulum. The new album LP1 is out now, and there's a sold out show tonight at the Fine Line Music Cafe, and another show this weekend, which we'll mention at the end of the session. But first, Twigs, could you introduce your team of musicians here and kind of tell us the story about how you all got together?
I don't know. It's a funny story, really, how we met. I met Cyan through my mom. She was in a coffee shop, and she saw Cyan, and he was, like, dressed really crazy, and he had, like, I think he had green hair, and he was wearing, like, lots of different patterns. And he went up to Cyan and was like, you should be friends with my daughter because you look like a clean punk, and my daughter's a clean punk as well. And so she made, this is the days of MySpace, and she made us add each other on MySpace and, like, sat over me and was like, you have to be friends with this guy. I was like, oh, gosh. So I, like, sent Paul Cyan a message, like, under duress from my mom, and then we actually hung out. He lived quite close to me, so we ended up making music together, and that's how I met LJ. And then those guys were in a band, and I used to kind of go and sing like support for their band. And then there was this one time when LJ was on stage playing bass and then his string broke on his bass, and then that was kind of like the end of their band. And then I was like, but it's okay because I have making music and now we can be a band. And that was kind of how it happened. And then I met Tick at like this weird kind of like fashion like bondage party at a warehouse, which was supposed to be the Young Turk studio, but it was just kind of this like wayward place where we'd like just having parties and making like weird music and stuff. And Tick was there on the door, and then like I think he asked a really weird question, like, what do you want to be, or something like that. And I was like, oh, I want to be a music artist. And it just caught his attention, and then Tick kept on calling me and calling me, but I was ignoring him for ages. And then after like 3 months, I decided I wanted to go in the studio with him after all. But then he left me waiting in the rain for 3 hours, and it was like freezing cold in the rain. And I was like, do you know what, actually, like, I respect that, and in a sly way I deserve that because I've been like boying you off for like 3 months. And then Tick and I made my first EP together. I guess, like, the first week or two of us knowing each other, and I guess Tick was the first person who was really able sonically to capture what I wanted, because I felt like I was at a certain level as a songwriter, but sonically, like, I just had never worked with anyone who really understood, like, where I wanted to come from. And so it was just, like, a natural decision that we should all kind of come together and be on this, you know, this thing that we're doing now, and be travelling around the world and making music. And Sign was of particular importance to me, like, when I was finishing the record, because he taught me the more sort of intricate ways of programming and the more technical side of it, and was very much there for me, like, during the last songs that I produced, like Closer and Kicks and Preface. Like, he was always there to be like, okay, you know, you don't have to, like, drag and drop like that, because that's a really long way of doing it. You can just, like, click this and click that and it'll do it. And I'd be like, oh, okay. So it made, like, the final processes, like, so much better to have a friend there, like, helping me, like, get out sounds and just pushing me further. And, you know, we're a great team. I think it's really important to have great friends, because it's, you know, it can be tough, you know, sometimes. So to have people that, like, you genuinely really love and care about, like, that's the most important thing, really.
And now you're here and you're traveling the world and you are making music, and you've had a tremendous year. You've been nominated for all the prizes you can be nominated for in the UK, and you're part of a group of musicians. Really, I think right now your contemporary is some of the best music that's coming out of the UK. And one of the things about that is that success as an artist means different things to different people. What would you tell a young artist now who's being inspired by your music and wants that kind of success?
I think maybe, like, just don't be thirsty.
What do you mean by that?
I guess it's like a London saying, like, being thirsty, I guess, is like, we also call it, maybe it's similar to being gassed or something. It's just kind of like a mixture of, like, anxiety and hunger and kind of like throwing yourself at something, but you don't necessarily, like, know what you're throwing it at. So somebody that's, like, thirsty, if their, like, musical idol was, like, sitting there in the corner, they would, like, have to go up to that person and have to, like, promote. Whereas maybe it's more interesting, like, to be the person not doing that, and then maybe that person will notice you and want to come and talk to you, because you're kind of sitting back and you're quietly content. For me, anyway, like, a quiet confidence has, like, helped me realise actually what I really want to do, instead of, like, pouncing at every single opportunity. Because I think if you do have that, like, fire inside you, then it's gonna come out. It might not come out when you're 19, it might not come out when you're 22, it might not come out when you're 25. I mean, I'm 27 in a month, you know, and it's just happening for me now, and that's okay. Like, I've been making music for 11 years almost. That's okay. It's taken me 11 years, and that's fine.
Congratulations on the new album, the tour, and everything, you know, that's been happening for the team here. You have been invited out to Paisley Park. For people who can't see the show tonight because it's sold out, mm-hmm. Some people get to hear you on the radio this afternoon, and thank you for sharing your music that way. But there's a show at Paisley Park, and how did that come together? Can you share anything about it with us, other than that it's happening Saturday night?
Do you know what? Like, I have never met Prince, I've never sent him a flying pigeon, nothing. So I don't know. I just got asked to do it, and I thought, what a wonderful opportunity. And Emancipation was the first record that I ever bought when I was 12 years old, so it kind of feels very surreal, and I'll have more to say about it, I guess, in 24 hours, because it hasn't happened yet.
Right on. I want to thank engineer Michael DeMarc, assistant engineer Henry Inberg, and producer Derek Stevens. We have one more song, and it's the song that our audience knows best, because we've been playing this song for months. It's called 2 Weeks. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.